Right, thank y'all for letting us come preach. I'm honored again. I probably don't say that like I want to, but I'm honored you would have me preach in your pulpit. I mean that from the depths of my heart. I feel so unworthy. Amen. But I'm going to act like I'm home, all right? I can do better if I just let down myself and act like I'm home. Amen. So turn to 2 Corinthians tonight, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I really feel like the Lord put this on my heart for tonight. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to give you some statistics, and that's going to take me a few minutes, but I really believe that's why I'm preaching this message. So that'll be in the message. Let me give those to you, and that'll really kind of what encouraged me to preach on this thought tonight. Amen. So if you're physically able to stand, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If you're not physically able to stand, just remain seated, and we certainly understand that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Thank you again for the nice room. Had a wonderful meal tonight. Amen. I hope we go back there tomorrow night. I don't have anything to do with that other than the pastor. Amen. I kind of mentioned a while ago before church, tell you where my mind is, I'm on tomorrow night supper. Amen. I said, where are we going tomorrow night for supper? He said, wherever you want to. I said, I'd just soon go back to the same place. Amen. So we got that settled. We got a lot accomplished tonight. Amen. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Amen. It was good to eat with Brother Matthews and his family. Real blessing to meet them. Amen. Get him to come to our church. Amen. Going to Vietnam. We ain't got nobody going to Vietnam. And so we want y'all to come to our church. Amen. And March, all of March is our mission month. Every Sunday, mission month. So I hope y'all can work that up to come preach. Amen. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then were all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them, and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. My studies, I understand that very likely or possible that Saul could have met Jesus Christ in the flesh. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And I want to take my text out of the most familiar verse that in that text tonight, verse 17. I want to preach on from that text tonight. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. I want to preach on this thought tonight. Are you in? Are you in? Let's pray. Father, thank you for letting us be here tonight. The good singing, the good choir, specials, testimonies, prayer room, and God, the good Spirit of God we feel in the service. Now, I do pray, Lord, you'd help me tonight. I can't walk, I can't talk, I can't do anything without you. But Lord, when it comes to preaching, certainly, God, we must have you to help us. And I need you, God, to anoint me and fill me. And God, give me liberty to think and say what needs to be said tonight. Certainly, I would not want to say anything that does not need to be said. And all that you would have us to say. May the Word of God find lodging tonight in our hearts. And bring forth fruit in our lives. And God, you be glorified. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, any man. You know, generally speaking, there are four kind of people in relation to the Lord Jesus Christ. There are those that are lost and know it. Can I say before I got saved, I was lost and I knew I was lost. There are those that are lost and know it. Dr. Seitler said this one time years and years ago. He said, if you could ever get a man lost, you probably could get him saved. So there are those that are lost and know it. There are those that are saved and know it. There are those that doubt about their salvation. They've been saved, but they have doubts about their salvation, but they are really saved. I can say after I got saved, And maybe I'm an exception, but I think this is pretty much the rule. I had some doubts after I got saved about my salvation. But I really was saved. And eventually I got that settled. Amen. So there are those who maybe doubt their salvation from time to time, but yet they are really saved. Then there are those who think they're saved, but they really aren't saved. I believe that pretty much sums up where people are in regards to knowing the Lord. May I say this, that eternity is too long and hell is too terrible not to put your salvation to the test and find out whether you are really saved. The Bible said, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. And then he said, prove your own self, knowing not so that you not be reprobate. So the Bible is talking about knowing that you're in Christ. Amen. Now listen to this. Listen to this statement. Down in my area, Charleston, the big city of Charleston, or the biggest city in our state. Amen. Charleston. There was a church down there. This has been recent. There was a church down there that the pastor resigned. And after he resigned, he made this statement. In my years of being the pastor of this church, we have had over 100,000 professions of faith. That church runs 50. I'll tell you, there's something wrong with that. 100,000 people have gotten saved, but there's 50 in the church. I'll tell you, there's something wrong with that church. Hey, listen to this, listen to this, listen to this now. This is my statistics tonight, amen. Out of 100 professions of faith, in 7 years, only 3 will be in church. Now, I know we're slowing it down tonight, amen. I hope that's all right with y'all. But I read this statistic. Out of 100 professions of faith, in 7 years, only 3 will be in church. There's something wrong with that. Now, let me give you this. And I don't want to bore you with this. But this is why I'm preaching this, amen. So I really don't want to bore you, amen. But I got to give you this. Preaching grace without preaching law leads to these kind of results I just told you about. You got to get a man lost before you'll ever get saved. And the Bible said the law was our schoolmaster to bring it to Christ, to bring us to Christ. The Bible said in the book of Romans, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. You got to get a man guilty before he'd ever get saved. And the law was not given for us to be saved by. The law was given to show us that we're sinners. And without law preaching, now I'm not talking about for salvation, but without law preaching, you're not going to get a man saved. A man don't need a life raft till he knows he's drowning. Amen and amen. Until a man gets guilty, he's never going to get saved. Until a man gets lost, he's never going to get saved. And I think, and I've been in some of those meetings. Matter of fact, that church that had 100,000 professors. I was in that church at a big meeting. I'm talking about a big meeting. I'm talking about hundreds and hundreds of people in the meeting. I was in that church, and a person comes to the altar, and I was standing there, and they said, why did you come? He said, I don't know. I need help. I need help. They said, you need to be saved. He said, I don't know what I need. I just know I need help. They said, repeat after me. He said, but I don't understand. I was standing there. I'm not telling you what I heard. I'm telling you I was standing there. He said, they said, just repeat after us, and that'll take care. He said, but I don't understand. They said, sir, just repeat after us. And they went through that ritual several times. And finally, hey, he said, I don't understand. He never did pray. I'm telling you, that's a false profession. You got to understand you're lost before you'll ever get saved. I was in a meeting, in a big meeting. I wouldn't call the name. I don't know why I wouldn't call the name. Because I was there. They wasn't ashamed of it. They showed you how to lead somebody to Christ. They set up the stage like it was a living room. And they showed you how to lead somebody to Christ. I'm talking about probably 600 preachers there. And they showed you how to lead somebody to Christ. And after they did that and led the person to Christ to show us how to do it, they said, any questions from the congregation? And one man stood up and he said, sir, I noticed when you led that man to Christ, or showed us how you led that man to Christ, you did not mention repentance. He said, sir, repentance is not in the plan of salvation. Sit down next. I'm telling you, that's false salvation. That's trying to get a profession. That's trying to mark up a number. I'm telling you what's happening. Hey, people are being led wrong in fundamental churches. Listen to these statistics. I didn't write these. I read this. Matter of fact, I found these in a trash can. Here's what he's saying. A crusade in the United States had 600 decisions for Christ. 600 decisions for Christ. No doubt there was much rejoicing. However, 90 days later, follow-up workers couldn't find even one. In Cleveland, Ohio, inner city outreach brought 400 decisions. The rejoicing no doubt tapered off when the workers involved in a follow-up campaign could not find one single convert. In a four-day crusade, 217 decisions were made. However, according to a member of the organizing committee, 92% fell away. Charles E. Hatchett, the Division of Home Missions for Assemblies of God in the United States, said, "A soul at the altar does not generate much excitement in some circles because we realize approximately 95% of every 100 will never become integrated in the church." I'm not trying to bore y'all, but I'm telling this while I'm preaching this. An organizer in Salt Lake City said, encouraged follow-up. He said less than 5% of those who responded to an altar call in a public crusade are living the Christian life 1 year later. In other words, 95% proved to be false. And a pastor in Boulder, Colorado, sent a team to Russia and obtained 2,500 decisions. Next year, the team found only 30 continuing in the faith. That's a retention rate of 1.2%. I don't want to bore you. But I got to read this to you. That's why I'm preaching on this. This is not true in this church. But I'm telling you, we need to be aware. A man being Christ, he's a new creature. All things pass away. All things become new. I still believe that. You know why? That's what happened to me. That's what happened to you. A pastor in Leeds, England, visited an American preacher, acquired 400 decisions for a local church. 6 weeks later, only two were still committed, and they eventually fell away. I'll tell you another reason I'm preaching this. And I didn't come to advertise that because y'all support us. But I'm telling you, you would be amazed. We've had 100 men since we started our men's. You would be amazed out of 100 drug addicts how many come to our home and say they're saved. I'm saying out of 100 men, I think I could probably tell you out of 100 men, I don't want to be evangelistically speaking, out of 100 men who've come to our home, drug addicts, hardcore drug addicts, out of 100 men, I'd probably say well over 50% say they're saved. You can't be a drug addict for 30 years and be saved. Somebody help me. I had a man come in my office that was in the home. I knew him. I didn't know this about him. He come to our home. He's a hardcore drug addict for 30 years. As a matter of fact, he sat down in my office and said, preacher, he said, you preached my graduation when I graduated from high school. I did not know that at that time. I said, really, Derek? He said, you preached my graduation. I said, well, Derek, I didn't know that. He said, you sure did. I said, well, Derek, with all that being said, I'm glad you're here. I hate you got to be here, but I'm glad you're here. Hope you can get some help. Hope you get saved, get your life. He said, I am saved. I said, wait a minute now, Derek. You've been here. You've been a hardcore drug addict for 30 years. I'm talking about hardcore drug addict for 30 years. And you say you saved? He said, Brother Willis, I'm saved. He said, I just have an addiction problem. Stay with me now. He said, I heard you say since I've been here, you smoking them cigarettes. You have a habit of smoking. That's an addiction. He said, you said they could go to heaven. Y'all getting quiet. He said, they have an addiction to nicotine. I have an addiction to being a drug addict. He said, but you say they can go to heaven, but you say I can't go to heaven. He said, my addiction is just like their addiction. What would you say? I said the same thing y'all saying. And then I thought about it. Well, Derek, if that be the case, Then over there in the Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, know ye not the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abuse themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. As such for some of you. If I go by what you're saying, then homosexuals can go to heaven. You can get saved and be a practicing homosexual. I'm telling you, your theology is wrong. When you get saved, God is going to deliver you from drugs. I didn't say you couldn't backslide, but I'm telling you, it will not be a way of life. We're not talking about sinless perfection, but we are talking about you going to sin less. Amen and amen. I'm simply saying to us tonight, hey, these statistics are appalling. A mass crusade reported 18,000 decisions. Yet according to Church Growth Magazine, 94% fail to be incorporated in a local church. If you don't have enough to get you to church, you ain't got enough to get you to heaven. Man, I told my church the other night, if you got to beg and plead and pump and cry to get people to come to church, there is something missing. After I got saved, I looked for the church. I wanted to go. I didn't want to go to church for it. But after I got saved, I wanted to go to church. Yeah, God, y'all done got me wound up. What are you trying to say? Stay with me. In Sacramento, California, a combined crusade yielded 2,000 conversions. One church followed up. 52% of those decisions couldn't find one convert. Amen. A leading U.S. denomination reported that during their campaign, they secured 384,000 decisions, but retained only 22,983. They couldn't account for 361,074 supposed conversions. 94% fell away. I'll tell you what's wrong. And I could go on and on. Amen. Omaha, Nebraska, pastor of a large church said he was involved in a crusade. 1,300 decisions were made, yet not one convert continued in the faith. Is anybody listening? Grace means nothing to a man that doesn't know he's lost. These people are giving them hope and a grace that they don't even know they need. Amen. You got to get saved. You got to know you need the grace of God. You got to know your law. I think a lot of that has to do, we ain't preaching the law enough. That's why they want to take down the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. I tell you, when Moses come down off the mount, they said, Moses, we're sick and tired of all this negative preaching. Said, all you preach on is thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Thou, you want to be in a negative preaching church? Be in Moses' church. Moses said, I promise you next Sabbath, I got a positive message. They said, Korah said, we're waiting for it. They gathered up, Korah and his grain, gathered up next Sabbath, amen. Moses, I come out and announce his text, and he said, you are positively going to hell if you don't keep them commandments, amen. Is anybody listening? My point is simply this. Hey, there's no law preaching. I'm telling you, I believe this to be the case. They ain't never got guilty. Amen and amen. On and on I could go. In March and April, late 1900s, the National Director of Home Missions of a major U.S. denomination disclosed that 11,500 churches obtained 294,000 decisions for Christ. Unfortunately, they could only find 14,337. That means despite the unusual intense follow-up, they couldn't account for 280,000 converts. There's something wrong with that kind of preaching. Are y'all listening to me? The Bible said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. You'll have a new position. You'll be in Christ. Amen and amen. Three stages in our relationship to Christ. You're without Christ, you're in Christ, or you're with Christ. Amen. We were born without Christ. Amen. My adult Sunday school teacher, after I got saved, I'm talking about I just got saved. My adult Sunday school teacher and the church I was going to, chairman of deacons, here's what his testimony in the men's class. I've always been a Christian. I was a brand new convert. I didn't know no better. I didn't know nothing about doctrine. All I knew is I got saved. And here's what he said. I have always been a Christian. I knew enough to know this. You ain't always been a Christian. There's got to come a place that you got lost. Amen and amen. Until you get lost, you'll never get found. Amen and amen. I'm so glad I got lost so I could be found. Amen and amen. We were born without Christ. You may have Christian parents, but that don't save you. After I got saved, I witnessed to one of my buddies. He said, "Yes, Alfred, I'm going to heaven. Mom and Daddy's a Christian. Mom and Daddy can't get you to heaven." Amen and amen. You might be in a Bible preaching, Bible praying, godly preaching, godly church. That don't make you a Christian. Amen. If you sit at the table and you're hungry, unless you partake, you will never curb that hunger. Amen. It's inconvenient to be without mercy. It's miserable to be without heat. It's deplorable to be without friends. But worst of all, it is awful to be without Christ. Hey, you're in Christ. No other religion makes that statement. They don't say, "I'm in Muhammad." They don't say, "I'm in Buddha." They say, "I'm a follower of Muhammad. I'm a follower of Buddha." I preached this in the prison. We had a Muslim saved in the prison. And we had the head of the Buddhist class teaching the Buddhist class. He got saved. I got to lead him to Christ. I wasn't preaching that night. He's a big old guy. He come to the altar. And I said, Brother Chaplain Neal, who's a member of our church, he said, "Alfred, that's the head Buddhist." He said, "See what he wants." I went over and I said, "What do you want?" He said, "I want to get saved. I'm lost without God. I want to get saved." I led him to Christ. That don't mean I did nothing. I wasn't preaching. You know what he did? He went back and shut down the Buddhist class. Yeah, God, that calls a stir. We had a Muslim say he plays the guitar. He plays the guitar left-handed. And I made this statement after they got saved. I said, "Y'all never did say y'all was in Buddha." He said, "No, preacher." I said, "You never did say you was in Muhammad." He said, "No." I said, "But you're in Christ." They said, "Yes, yes, we're in Christ." Hey, you might follow Buddha, you might follow Muhammad, but hey, thank God, I'm not just an imitator of Christ, I have impartation in Christ. I'm in Christ. Christ is in me. There's a big difference. Amen. Amen. How do you know you're in Christ? Well, He's the head and we're the body. He's the foundation and we're the building. He's the groom and we're the bride. We're in Christ. And Christ is in us. 130 times in the New Testament, He said, "We're in Christ." Glory to God. And thank God, Buddha is not in them. Buddha is dead. But Christ is alive. And Christ is in us. Amen. My wife is no longer trying to be a Willis. One time she plotted, she planned, she prayed to be a Willis. I'm going to pay for this after this message. I can remember when I had my motorcycle. I'd ride my motorcycle by our house. And I'd make that one, vroom, I'd go down the road. And she wouldn't be in the yard, but I'd go up the road and turn it around. And she'd run up to the road. And I'd come back, vroom, I'd come back. My hair was blowing in the breeze. And then finally we got married. My hair's gone, my motorcycle's gone. But we're in each other in the sense of when we got married, we become one. When you got saved, Christ came in you and you got in Christ. I can't explain all that, but I know it happened. I'm not in Buddha, I'm not in Muhammad, but I'm in Christ. And Christ is in me. There's a big difference. Amen and amen. I'm afraid some people are trying to follow Christ. Following Christ won't get you to heaven. It's got to be an impartation. He imparts Himself to you. It's not an imitation. It's an impartation. Amen and amen. What are you trying to say, preacher? I thank God we're in Christ. Amen and amen. Not in the church. Amen. Not in the choir. Not in the congregation. Not in communion. Amen. Not for Christ, but in Christ. You can be all of those good things and still not be saved. But only when you get in Christ. To escape the flood, they had to be in the ark. Amen. They couldn't be holding on. Amen. They couldn't be beside it. Amen. They couldn't be on it. They had to be in it. I tell you what Moses said. He said, the Lord said, "Come into the ark." That must have meant the Lord. He didn't say, "Go into the ark." He said, "Come in the ark." He told Noah, come in the ark. Hey, he didn't say go in the ark. He said come in. That means he was in there. And by the way, one but one door. Hallelujah. Only one way in. Praise God. I preached that somewhere. I was preaching in the camp meeting. I was preaching on Noah. And I preached on one door. And a carpenter come up to me after the service. He said, preacher, I'm a carpenter. Could I help you? I said, man, I need all the help I can get. He said, can I give you, a good thought on that? He said, do you know there are several kind of doors? I said, what do you mean? He said, a good door is six panel. I said, really? He said, yeah, most sheep doors don't have six panels. And a good door has three attachments. He said, a cheap door has two attachments. But a good door has three attachments. Amen. Do you know when Christ was put on the cross, he was attached there, he was attached there, and he was attached there. There was three attachments to our door. Tell you something else about a door. A door, just because it's pretty, that door, hey, these are pretty doors. That's a six-panel door. Glory to God. The Lord put that door there tonight. Hey, do you know that door right there? Take that door off the hinges, and you know what it is? We just stand there and say, that's a pretty door. That's a nice door. But that door serves no purpose till you hang it. I'll tell you, I don't care how good a door Jesus was, it served no purpose till he was hung. And he was attached at three places. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Hey, I'm glad, thank God, our Jesus is a perfect, perfect Savior. Amen. Amen and amen. That door will keep you in, and that door will keep you out. The same door that secures you is the same door that separates you. Amen and amen. Hey, if you're not in Christ, you're separated. But if you're in Christ, you're in for eternity. Amen. Glory to God. I don't care when the flood comes and the wind blows. If you're in Christ, you will make it. I imagine when Noah, that boy, help me, Jesus. I imagine when that storm started rocking, that ark started rocking. I imagine a few times Noah fell down, but he never fell out. Glory to God.
Amen.
Are you in Christ? You will make it through the storm.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Dear God, I got me some rest today, friend. Hey, they couldn't be near the city. They had to be in the city of refuge. Amen. Hey, they couldn't be close. They had to be in. I'm glad I'm in. Are you in? Hey, our position, our personality. Notice this, our position, our personality. What are you saying, preacher? Notice what he said there. We're a new creature. It didn't say, you shall be a new creature. Any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Not shall be. Amen. To create means to take something, take nothing and make something. Wonder why the evolutionists start. Well, a little piece of whatever. Where did they get that from? Where did they get the little piece of whatever? God, if God didn't make it, let me say, I was preaching the other day on God being omnipotent, and I forgot what I said, but I declare it was good. If there was no God, there couldn't be no God, because God's the one that creates. Well, I thought it was good. Is anybody listening? What are you trying to say? I'm trying to tell you we're a new creature. New creation. A new creation. God did not mend us. God did not patch us up. God did not improve us. God did not overhaul us. What you had, in fact, God didn't want. Amen. He created a new person. We are a new creature in Christ. It's not you doing it. It's Him that did it. That ain't good English, but that's good preaching. It's not you becoming a new creature. It's Him making you a new creature. Amen and amen. Hey, we are a new creature. I read where a communist was addressing a crowd. He pointed to a beggar in rags that was drunk. He said, communism will put a new suit on that man. A Christian in the crowd hollered back. But Christianity will put a new man in the suit. Glory to God. You call that regeneration. We did not reform. We did not get religion. We got regenerated. There was a transfiguration, metamorphosis. God changed earth just like He did, had the worm to the butterfly. Amen and amen. That little worm's crawling. He's crawling. He looks up and says, "Man, that's a pretty bird. But I'm a worm. I could never fly like that." But he crawls. And he crawls to the foot of a tree. I said he crawls to the foot of a tree. I said he crawled to the foot of a tree. And he crawled at the foot of that tree. And he went up on that tree. And he wrapped himself. Amen. In a crystal. And sometimes transpired. And you know, God in that crystal made a special little weak spot in that crystal. So when that butterfly flexes it, it'll rip that little place right there. I read where some school students was doing an experiment on the chrysalis where that the butterfly comes out of. And so they thought they would help the butterfly, and they split the sack for him. And when he came out, he just flopped on the table, and he couldn't do nothing because the strength that he uses to rip that little piece open is what gives him the strength to fly. Is anybody listening? Sometimes we have to travail to have birth. We're trying to make it too easy. We don't want no repentance. Help me. Without repentance, there's no salvation. Except you repent, you're going to pray. Hey, I'm telling you, I was raised in church as a young boy. My daddy was a town drunk, but my mama took me to church. But you know why I didn't get saved? I wanted my sin. And I wasn't willing to repent of my sin. I believed in Jesus. I believed in the death. I believed in the resurrection. I believed in the ascension. I even believed He would come back. But I wasn't saved. You know why? I wanted my sin more than I wanted Jesus. I'm telling you, we're preaching a salvation today. And I'm telling you what, gets a profession, but it doesn't get a possession. Amen and amen. I'm going to tell you, that butterfly crawled that tree, went up, wrapped himself in that chrysalis. And I'm going to tell you, he busted open and come out a beautiful butterfly. And now he's saying, "I'm flying. I thought I could never do this. I used to look up at that bird, but now I'm flying and it's beautiful. And God made something beautiful out of my life." We messed it up. God straightened it up. Dear God, y'all kill a white man up here. One writer said, "God creates a new world in your soul." Preacher, I'm telling you, everything I'm preaching tonight, it happened. I ain't preaching something I read on a book that didn't happen. This happened to me. Amen. Did it happen to you? Let's say amen. If you were suddenly transported to Korea, you would know it. How would you know it? You know it by the way they look. You know it by the way they talk. I'm going to tell you, when I got born again, got in church, I'm going to tell you what, everything was different. Amen. They talked different. Come on now. They didn't talk like they did down at the bar room and the pool room. Everybody looked different. Amen. They didn't go around naked. When I was out in the world, they went naked. Now you start going to church, they don't go naked to church. Amen. You say, "Well, I see them going to naked." The preacher needs to preach on it. Okay? If you go have a church today and it don't end up being a naked church, you got to preach on it. That don't mean the preacher's mad at you. Amen. I'm telling you, I've been pastoring 37 years. I've had to preach on that for 37 years. And if I live 37 more, I probably have to preach 37 more. Because somebody has got a problem about dressing right. They haven't become a new creature. When I got saved, God put my clothes on. And I'm a man. I wore Bermudas and sneakers, and that was it. Had a charter back in this part. Bermudas and sneakers. I'm naked as a jaybird. And the Holy Ghost said, "You naked." Not a loudmouth preacher. A Holy Ghost said, a whole lot louder than a loudmouth preacher, said, "You naked, boy." I looked down and I said, "Oh, I am naked." I went running inside, put my clothes on, kept them on ever since. Dear God, I feel like preaching tonight. I ain't telling you I can, but I sure am trying. Amen and amen. You become a new creature. You will look different. I got a problem with these people that don't look different. Now, I know that some churches don't preach it and the crowd don't have it. So they don't know for the most part. But I did say that. The Bible said even nature teaches you something. Is anybody listening? Nature teaches something. That's what the Bible said. The Bible said nature teaches a man he ought not have long hair. That's what the Bible said. You get mad at me, get mad at the Bible. I have to take the blunt of it, but the Bible said that. Well, I don't like that preacher. He preaches them things. It's not the Bible. You don't like the Bible? Go tell God you don't like the Bible. Well, they'd rather say, I don't like you. I hear people say this everywhere I go. Oh, we love Brother Willis. He's so nice. Everybody loves Brother Willis. Come on and go to St. Stephen. I'll show you a crowd don't like me. Most of them in town don't like me. Is anybody listening? I don't do that to be mean. I do that to help people. If I helped you keep your wife's clothes on and she didn't run off and leave you, you'd thank me. You become a new creature. You'll look different. You'll talk different. You'll quit cussing. Preacher, I'm telling honest God truth. All of us have got a story. If y'all was preaching that, I'd cry and listen to you. I'd back you up while you're preaching. I'd back the choir up. Choir, y'all need to back me up. I was telling y'all, bring it on and sing it up. I ain't heard nobody say, preach on, Rev. Preach on, Rev. Right now, I feel like I'm feeling, stop, Rev, stop. No, preach on, Rev. Amen and amen. Hey, I'm telling you, I got saved on a Thursday night. I got saved on a Thursday night. I went to the shop on Friday morning, and I walked in, and my boss told me to do something. And I didn't like what he told me. And I cussed. I said, I just cussed. And I said, I walked back to my toolbox to get my wrenches because of the pipe fitter. And when I got back to the box, the Holy Ghost said, you just cussed. I was 8 hours old in the Lord. And the Holy Ghost said, you just cussed. I said, Lord, I didn't mean to do that. I'm sorry. I never had that thought before. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. He said, you go back and apologize to your boss. I said, Lord, don't make me do that now. He said, go back in there and apologize. I said, I walked back in there. I said, Mr. Higgins, I said, I don't know if you understand this, but I got saved last night. And God saved my soul. And I didn't mean to cuss at you a while ago. He said, it's all right, Willis. I said, but you understand. But see, I said, I got saved last night. And when I cussed, he said, you all right, Willis, you all right. He didn't want me to tell him no more, amen. Do you know that man started sending checks to my church? Amen. I'm sorry. I'm telling you, when you get saved, God's going to change you. I worry about people ain't had no change. Amen and amen. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Hey, you know what? One time they thought the sun was the center of the universe. I mean, they thought the sun revolved around the earth. And a man named Galileo, he discovered that wasn't true, that we revolve around the sun. Now, I'm telling you, this is what I read. They said they about crucified him. Because he said that the sun was the center of the universe and everything revolves around the sun. I'm telling you, you get saved, everything revolves around the sun, the S-O-N sun. Amen and amen. You have a new position. You have a new personality. You have a new potential. Old things are passed away. Passed away means cast aside. Passed away means discarded. It annoyed. Passed away means scrapped. It's new rubbish. Listen to this now. Listen to this. Listen to me. It's not old things become new. It's old things are passed away. Amen and amen. God don't need nothing you got. Amen and amen. Listen to this. By the way, old things have passed away. He's still doing that. It started that regeneration. But it's a continuing. God's still working on me. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth, and Jupiter and Mars. But he's still working on me. I'm going to tell you, God started work that day. And just the other day, I told my church, I said, I'm ashamed of this preaching. But I said that Saturday, I was in a situation. I'm not cussing. I just said something that I shouldn't have said. And I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost said, that's wrong. And all that afternoon, I said, God, I am so sorry. Why did I even say that? I'm not talking about cussing. I'm talking about said something maybe about somebody. I should not have done it. And the Holy Ghost wouldn't let me rest all afternoon. And I got down on my knees and said, God, I don't know what to do. I am so sorry. Please forgive me. And please put that under the blood. And He said, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. I said, God, I'm going to leave that with You. Ain't nothing I can do about it. He's still working on me. You tell me a man can go stay on drugs for 30 years and I can't even have a bad thought and God don't convict me? Something wrong with our salvation. You said, preacher, if I believe what you, I'd have to live perfect. No, you ain't got to live perfect. The only one that ever lived perfect died for you and lives in you.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you. Thank you. I'm just saying, listen to this. He not only died for you, He died as you. He not only gave His life for you, He gave His life to you. Amen. It not only has happened, it's still happening. Amen and amen. He is still working on me. Now, I had to borrow this. When I read it, you might know where it comes from. And I'll give Him credit. But listen to this now. He's not talking about a new style. He's talking about a new standing. Now let's don't get confused. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. That's your new standing. But until you get your standing right, you'll never get your style of life right.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I have a new standing. I'm in Christ. That changed my life. It changed my lifestyle. Amen. Amen. One good preacher put it this way, amen. He said, because of that, I'm no longer bound by Satan. I am no longer blighted by sin. I am no longer barren in service. And I am no longer bankrupt spiritually. Man, I wish I'd have wrote that. Listen to this. Paul said, it commits at regeneration and it continues in sanctification and it will consummate in glorification. Glory to God. He's still working on us. If you're in Christ, He's still working on us. We have the right standing. He's working on changing our style of life continually. Amen and amen. I'm still, God's still not through with us. God's still working on us. And He will still be working on us till we meet Him. Amen and amen. Aren't you glad for that? Amen and amen. Listen to this. Because of being a new creature in Christ, I have new perception. I have new priorities. I have new pursuits. I have a new purpose. I don't hang around the pool room no more. Bear can ain't my life anymore. Drag strip ain't my life no more. Dances and parties ain't my life no more. Church! Church! Church is my life. Damn, Lord, I never knew you could make a love. I never knew a man could love church until you get saved. I just love to go to church. Hey, that didn't happen because I'm a preacher. That happened when I got saved. We got people in my church, bless their sweetheart. I preach to them every Sunday morning. They are so spiritual, they don't need but one service a week. But us poor sinners, we got to go three times. And then we got to go to all the revivals because we just poor, wretched sinners. But I got a crowd that is highly sanctified in my church. One time a week I'll do it.
Yeah, I tell it.
Matter of fact, I preach this. I want y'all to know, I don't preach here what I don't preach home. I preach it hard at home. Amen. I would never come to your church and preach what I don't preach. I preach it hard at the house. You can believe that. That'd be hypocritical. Be hypocritical for me to come up here and preach to y'all and don't preach this to our crowd. Amen and amen. I'm just simply saying, hey, because of that, amen, because of that, hey, negatively, I have lost affection for the world. My affection for the world has declined. Amen. I don't need dope no more. I got hope. I don't need liquor. I got the Lord. I don't need whiskey. I got worship. Amen. Hey, all those things have passed away. I don't have to have that. Amen and amen. My son Philip got saved when he was five years old. And he come a time in his life, they had serious doubts about him getting saved. Because we was talking this at the table today, and I knew what I was preaching, but I was hoping y'all wasn't going too far. And so Philip had some doubts. And he come to me and said, Daddy, He said, I know your lifestyle. You told us your lifestyle. How you was ashamed of it, but God delivered. You saw an outward change. So your doubts wouldn't be like mine, because I've never drank. He's never smoked a cigarette. He's never cussed. He's never drank. He said, I didn't see that radical change. He said, so I doubt. What happened? I said, let me ask you this, Philip. Do you obey your mom and daddy? Let me tell you, young people, how you can know you're saved. And a lot of y'all in this church, you never drank, never smoked, never cussed. Let me tell you how you can know you're saved. Did God put a desire in your heart to obey your mom and daddy? Now listen to me now. I want to be as fair as I can be. Sometimes you may slip up and don't. You know a lost man can slip up and smoke. That don't mean he ain't saved. Y'all help me. Am I helping? Just like a child can slip up and disobey mom and dad, but that's not a continuous lifestyle. If you got a continuous lifestyle as a child in regards to your mom and dad's authority, if your lifestyle is continuous, hey, that you buck their authority, you better check out your salvation. That's how you can know you're saved. Amen and amen. Just like a lost man, smoked and drank and cussed. When he gets saved, if his lifestyle is continuous doing that, he didn't get saved. But hey, he can slip up. Amen and amen. And Philip said, I got it settled. I got that settled. I know I'm saved. He's 42 years old. 42 now. Amen. He's been preaching as long as I have. Just about. My affection for the world declined. My association with worldly friends decreased. I don't hang around with that crowd I used to hang. I don't think I'm better. It ain't because I think I'm better. But hey, they want to cuss, they want to smoke, they want to drink, they want to tell dirty jokes. I don't want to be around that no more. They don't want to be around me either. Somebody preach, we've all went through that. Somebody said, now Alfred, now that you're saved, you can't hang around that crowd. Don't worry, friend. Hey, they didn't want to hang around me. Hey, we used to have a Budweiser, now I'm toting the Bible, amen. Hey, they ain't wanting to be around that. I didn't have to run that crowd. I didn't have to get rid of them. They got rid of me. Oh, man. Are you a new creature? Can you look back to a time, hey, at that time, God began a work in you. And He is still working on you. Amen. We have a new standing. Therefore, we have a new lifestyle. I'm through. Listen to this. Hey, because of that, I have an appreciation for the blood. I've had an admiration for the book, attraction for the body, an adoration for the brethren, an allegiance to the banner, aspiration in the battle, and anticipation of the blessed hope. Dr. James Jones said that. I said, Dr. Jones, I didn't tell him this. I'm going to tell him he's coming to preach for us. Dr. Jones, don't preach this message you preach all the time, because I done preached it. That is too good not to preach. And I go to some places Brother Jones don't get to go, so I just act like it's mine. I say, God gave me this. No, I always give Him credit. Amen. Hey, are you a new creature? Amen. You can look back to a time that you bowed at an old-fashioned altar or in your bedroom. Brother Jeff said he got down in a cornfield. Brother Rain said Jeff had a corn version. And become a new creature. God give you a new standing. Change your lifestyle. Has that happened to you? Amen. I hope so. If not, get it settled tonight. Let's stand together, pray. Amen. Father, thank you for the Bible. Lord, we want everything we believe to come out of the Bible. And Lord, I know this message is right out of the Bible. We become a new creature. You said that. And God, I'm thankful I'm a living result of knowing that in my life. And I know multitudes here can say amen to that. You made them a new creature. Help us tonight. Touch some heart. Help somebody. Certainly we don't want anybody to be confused, and the young people, but God, to get it settled that they know, that they know, that they know that they're saved. Help us tonight, I pray. Get glory in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing tonight. If y'all...